welcome back to another episode of Admission Granted. I'm your co-host, Christina.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Natalie.
And we are so happy to have you back here with us. It's another bright and sunny day here in Syracuse, New York.
Yeah, so glad the sun came out.
It's really nice, especially in the middle of winter. So I guess just before we get into our main topic of the day, just as an opening topic, I want to ask you guys, speaking of Syracuse, what is your number one favorite thing to do in Syracuse and why?
You want to start? Sure. There's a lot of things to do in Syracuse.
Yeah, it's hard to pick just one. I mentioned previously that I really love trivia, which they do on weeknights all around the city at different places. So I do that, but I also really like to try new restaurants. And when the weather permits, I like to check out like local nature. I love Green Lakes. It's gorgeous. So I try to, you know, spend some time outside of the downtown area. How about you, Brittany?
Yeah, I agree with you, Natalie. I love eating around Syracuse. There's so many different types of restaurants and there's always a new restaurant opening. So I don't know. I just really like to just go out and eat. And it's kind of a break from like your normal day-to-day sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of food, another really cool thing that I like to do in Syracuse, speaking from a native Syracusian perspective, is this really cool thing that they have near Destiny USA called the Regional Market. It happens especially in the spring and summer. Local vendors, different farms, like local businesses will come and sell their produce and other really cool little things there. And it's just a really great place to go if you're looking to get out of the house on a really nice spring or summer day. Also, the Syracuse Crunch is a great, great time. I love going to those games. They're very exciting.
Those are hockey games, right?
Yes, the hockey games. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Syracuse is a big sports town, I'm starting to notice too.
Yes.
College teams and things. So
great,
that's fun.
Here. In addition to that, we also have really great theater. We have really great local theaters here, as well as different touring companies that come through. I actually just saw Anastasia, the musical here, which is really cool. So
I was going to say, I saw Hamilton in March. So it was amazing.
Yeah. So if anyone's listening and wants to visit Syracuse, like definitely check out some of that stuff. Now we'll transition into the main topic of this episode, which is wellness. So throughout the course of this episode, we are planning on hitting on physical wellness, mental wellness, and financial wellness, as well as just our own little tips and tricks about life here and there as graduate students. But before we begin, we did just want to make a quick disclaimer that this is all from personal experience. It's not meant to be one size fits all in any way. We're not professional therapists, you know, fitness coaches, dietitians, nothing like that. We're just three gals who are doing our best in graduate school and hoping to share some of our tips and tricks. So if you are struggling, we do encourage you to use the resources at your disposal and get the help that you need. So without further ado, I guess I'll dive into that topic. On the topic of physical wellness, I guess first I'll ask Brittany, do you have any tips and tricks? What does your physical wellness routine look like? What advice would you have for our listeners?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I could just start off with like how my physical wellness has changed since undergrad. I mean, if you remember your undergrad schedule, your classes are like all over the map. You either have a 9 a.m. or a 1 p.m., but you have a lot of time to like go do other things like during your day. So in undergrad, going to the gym at like 10 a.m. was feasible because I didn't have class. Whereas like here in grad school, I don't really have that kind of capability to take the time during my day to go to the gym. So right now, like because I work an 8 to 10 hour day, when I come home, I just want to sit in for the rest of the night and I really don't want to do anything because I'm just exhausted. So I either have to work out in the morning or work out at night. It's a struggle for me, but I've found that I get in these stretches where I get frustrated at myself when I can't lift a box like in lab. So I will go to the gym like for 2 to 3 months straight, set up a routine and just go. But in addition to like physical wellness, you know, like lifting, running, things like that, I also have changed how I eat. So because I have had a few roommates these past couple of years, I tend to eat healthier because when we cook, we're cooking for like everyone in the house, but I've made a conscious decision to like make a healthier meal so that everyone would, you know, get protein or get their fruits and veggies in. And I think that has like really helped me eat healthy. And I've started to cut out drinking soda or drinking things with lots of sugar and just drinking water. And I think that's, I've seen a change over the past couple of years from like starting grad school to eating like ramen and a, you know, a Snickers bar as a lunch. And now I'm eating like chicken with a side of rice, you know, and some broccoli, something like that.
So you think like having roommates or people you're cooking for kind of gives you a sense of accountability in a way?
Right. Because you're cooking for people who have like different tastes, but also may have like different food requirements. So like my cousin, she's gluten-free. So we had to find a lot of like gluten-free options. So it was kind of like a nice like change up for me. I felt healthy. I felt better.
That makes sense. But I will pivot to Natalie. Do you have any tips, tricks, anything that's helped you to establish your physical wellness routine?
I do. And I also appreciate that Brittany mentioned diet because I think that's a huge part of like physical health. But my physical wellness routine includes going to the gym. So our school has a building called the Campus Activities Building in which there is a gym. There are numerous machines, also a swimming pool, a sauna that I love to go to a couple of times a week. So I try to do that at least 3 times a week. But there are also like team sports. Volleyball is huge here. So there's, you know, always games that you can join, basketball games, things like that. There's a fitness club made by some of our peers actually in our class.
Oh, right. I see some of those flyers from time to time.
So once a week, they'll offer like a fitness class and they're personal trainers that are trained to do that. So it's really cool. There's also yoga classes also by some of our peers from our class. It can be really easy to stay seated all day. So I think it's really important to get moving, get your steps in, all that, especially in the first couple of years because we're in a classroom setting.
Right. You guys are sitting for like long hours, right?
Correct. Yes. So, you know, things change in third and fourth years. We will be on our feet more doing clerkships and things like that. But just for right now, I try to keep my stamina up and I always have a snack on hand, you know, in case I can't go out and get a meal. And I keep my diet pretty varied. As you all know, I like to cook. So I just like to just have healthy foods at home that I can get creative with.
That's great. I think those are great tips.
Thank you. How about you, Christina?
Yeah, I think I'm going to echo a lot of what you guys were saying. The biggest thing for me is that I really, really value planning and routine. And that's kind of a common theme in my life. I'm sure I've expressed that in other episodes about different topics. But I think really for me, the key to meeting my physical wellness goals is really just to set up a routine, whether that is planning meals, planning, you know, the couple days a week that I'm going to go to the gym. I think it's also about finding a routine that you actually enjoy and making it so that it's not so much a chore as it is something that you really enjoy. So one of the ways that I do that is I try every single day to go for a walk. I've talked about that with you guys before. But Upstate is neighboring to Syracuse University's campus. And I found that, especially during the days, during the hustle and bustle of, you know, college life at SU, that's a great place to go and walk. It's beautiful. It's, you know, very scenic, especially in the fall time when all the leaves are changing, all those, you know, great Upstate New York falls, which is great. And I'll use that time to call a friend, listen to a podcast, go get coffee. It's just something that I enjoy, but also helps me to stay active during the day. So yeah, I think routine is great. I think that that's why the COVID-19 pandemic impacted me specifically with my physical wellness routine is because there was this massive interruption in my routine that I had been on for years. And it's just very, very difficult for me to then transition and get back into it. But especially with step one studying, I've really made my physical wellness, tried to make it more of a priority because I think it's that old saying that, you know, you can't drive a car across the country on an empty tank. Like I'm really trying to like fill my tank, if you will, like metaphorically, because I know I don't want to get burned out and I don't want to impact my studying or my performance because I don't feel great or I'm not as active as I should be or what have you. And I think that a common theme here too in this discussion is that physical wellness looks different for everybody and everybody has their own goals. And that's a very personal thing. These are just, again, our own little tips and tricks based on our journeys. Does anyone else have anything to add?
I think we wanted to talk a little bit about sleep as well. I think that's really important for physical health and just good sleep hygiene. I think in these kind of settings where we have so much going on, it's easy to say, you know what, I'm going to pull an all-nighter and study. I mean, it's not easy, but people do it all the time. And I don't recommend that just from my experience. I think our physical health ties very much into our mental health. Like you said, Christina, you know, you want to feel good, you know, you want to have the stamina, and we're going to be approaching our clerkships pretty soon where we will be on our feet for, you know, long periods of time. So I think it's good to just remember that there are other things that we're going to have to be preparing for, mm-hmm. like the step or like clerkships and being on our feet and being up for long hours.
I agree. And I also just want to piggyback on something that you had pointed out mm-hmm. when you were talking about how you're kind of what we're doing now and what we choose to do now sets us up for the next step, which is clerkships. Mm-hmm. And I would mm-hmm. even argue the next step, which is residency. Right. And then the next step, which is you're an attending or a fellow or whatever. And I've actually heard that from residents that I've talked to before, that the kinds of habits that you get into now, like this early in the game, even in undergrad, really, in undergrad and in med school and whatever was in between, if you get in the habit of making bad habits now, you know, in terms of not prioritizing sleep, not, mm-hmm. you know, staying as active as you're able to or whatever it is, like, it's really easy to then just let that follow you to the next step. Or it can be a something even, you know, not physical wellness, even, you know, social wellness and mental wellness. Getting in the habit of saying, oh, no, I'm sorry, like, I can't hang out this Friday evening. Like, I have to do more studying that I have to catch up on. I think that there's a time and a place for that. And I'll touch on that in the mental wellness section of this episode as well. But if you get into the habit of constantly doing that because you have to study, you're going to be doing that for your entire career. Like, there's always going to be another exam, another thing kind of coming down the pipeline. It's really important to establish boundaries and routine for yourself early mm-hmm. so that you don't get lost down the line.
Yeah, because next thing you know, it's been 2 months and you've been like continuously doing that bad habit. I think last week I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to look up how long it takes to form a new habit. And it's like anywhere between 40 and 60 days to like continuously do something so that habit is now just like routine for you in your life and you're not really like thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So like when I was thinking about that, I'm like trying to figure like, oh, like how do I make sure I go to bed every night at 11 o'clock? And they were like, you need to be consistent with your habit. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to see like technically results for like 30 days for it to be like an unconscious thing that I just do. I just be like, oh, it's 10:30, time to wind down and go to bed, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It definitely takes time and it's something to be conscious about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like this is a good segue into our next section, which is mental wellness. So I guess I will just kind of give my perspective right off the bat for this one. So a couple of things that have definitely helped me work on my mental wellness and maintain that have been a few things. The first thing, actually something that I started this year in particular, was reading before bed. I will read anywhere between 20 to 40 minutes before bed almost every single night. And when I don't do it, like I didn't do it yesterday, I definitely feel the results the next day because I know that my brain needs a chance to kind of unwind and not look at my phone or look at my mm-hmm. email or be on, you know, different social networking apps. I just kind of need a time to unwind, kind of, you know, be transported from the day.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. kind of slow down.
So I think reading before bed has definitely helped me a lot. It's just a little thing that I do for myself. Also listening to great music. I listen to music yes. all the time. When I study, I'm usually quiet, but anytime I'm just kind of hanging out, I always have music on. And I think that that helps me to stay productive and stay happy, quite frankly, right. during the day. Yeah. And the last thing that I wanted to touch on in this is the importance of building community. Mm-hmm. I think that community doesn't necessarily have to be the community, you know, the family, the friends, the neighbors you were born into. I think sometimes community can be the community that you create for yourself. For me, my community has always been my religious community because that's a really big part of my life that offers me structure, companionship, camaraderie, support when I need support, and I hope that I can do the same for those people as well. But I also have a great community of girlfriends at Upstate and guy friends too, who I know, like, if I want to try a new restaurant or there's an event that I want to go to, that they're willing to do that, and it's just a lot of fun. And I think too, like when you're in med school and you're in grad school, and I don't know if you guys agree or disagree with this, but there's nothing quite like sharing that experience with somebody.
Yes.
Because especially as a first generation student, my family is very supportive of me, but they don't understand what I go through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the same as I don't understand what they go through in their jobs either, because I've never had them. It's really nice to have people around to share your experience, are able to support you, you know, give you a laugh when you need a laugh. Yeah. So, Natalie, do you have any tips to give?
Yeah. So I like to practice a couple of things every day to keep my mental health in check. One thing I do every day is journaling. So just even if it's just writing down like things that happened or things that I hope to happen, really just being able to recognize feelings and name them and express them is really important to me, and it really helps me get by. I also like to practice gratitude and mindfulness every day. I try to meditate as much as I can. Again, all things that just keep me grounded and present, as well as, you know, keeping in touch with my family and friends that are outside of medicine and just outside of Syracuse, just to also kind of try to remind myself of the bigger picture.
Right, your community, like Christina was talking
exactly.
about.
Staying grounded.
Yes, exactly. And again, I also mentioned in previous episodes that just keeping my space organized and clean, and having plants around and things that I care for. I have my cats that I think are also a big part of my mental health.
Yes, definitely.
These are just things that, you know, they may seem like extra work, but in the long run, I think it can be really beneficial.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think some of the tips that I think about when it comes to like my mental wellness is definitely what you talked about, Natalie, is that good sleep. I tend to turn on my TV, I open Spotify, and I have like white noise, or I've even found pink noise, which I have found helps me like drift off to sleep better. But I agree with what Christina was saying back to like physical wellness, is that music really like helps you like get into that routine. And when I'm working out, I love to listening to upbeat, get your ego going, and like you're just like working out and it's a time to focus. I think music really does help your mental wellness. And just like we talked about earlier, building that community, chatting with friends, we've talked about it on previous episodes with imposter syndrome. I feel like my friends are someone who helps me be mentally well.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I agree with Christina about the phone time. I found that if I slow down with my phone and just put it down and think about, do I really need to pick up my phone right now? Do I need to bring it with me to go out to dinner with my fiance? Do I need to bring my phone? Mm-hmm. And I found that if I leave my phone or like turn it off and not worry about it for a few hours, that my mental well-being is so much better. I just feel so free from, you know, a device that's always in your hand or always in your back pocket.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to piggyback off that, I think for me as well with the phone, I think that it's a struggle for me and for everyone as, you know, just part of the human experience at this point, I would argue.
Right.
That staying mindful is kind of tough when you have this very present source of information. It can be great because, you know, who doesn't want to know a lot of things at once? But I think putting my phone down before bed helps me to really stay present and focus on like, okay, there's 1,000 things I could be thinking about right now. Let's just think about maybe 2 things and then I'll go to sleep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I've started to put like a timer on my phone so that when I open TikTok, I won't death scroll for like 3 hours. You know, I'll just be like, okay, I'm giving myself an hour and that's all I can do, because otherwise when I get off my phone, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I lost so much time and I could have been doing other things. And, you know, maybe I did need that time to like look at my phone and kind of decompress, but I don't think I need to spend 3 or 4 hours on it, which I know that there are some listeners that do that. So don't say you don't, because I know there are people out there.
Yeah, it's quite common, but I love that feature. I use that often too, where like you can set up your phone to limit certain time on certain apps. And I think that's just really helpful. It helps with decision fatigue too, because then you don't have to worry about disciplining yourself in that moment, saying, no, I'm going to stop. No, the decision's already been made. You've already made the decision. And I think that ties into a little bit about your planning, Christina, how you like to plan your week and plan ahead. Because then it's just one less thing to worry about. If you can just go to your planner or your schedule and go from there, I think it just takes a lot of weight and time off your shoulders.
I agree. Yeah. Just like kind of spontaneously piggyback off of that because I really like this conversation and where it's going. I was just wondering, so okay, this is great, right? All these skills, all these tips, perfect world, we're doing great, we're staying on top of our physical and mental health, we are fabulous, wow, look at us, we're in grad school, we're doing great. But we're all human and we all sometimes fall off the schedule, like I did yesterday. So my question for you guys is, what happens when you do fall off the schedule, or you know that you're, you know, you're not sticking to your routine, or, you know, your physical or your mental wellness isn't going the way that you want it to go? How do you handle it? What kind of things run through your mind? Where do you go from there? How do you pick up where you left off? Or do you at all?
That's a really good question, because, you know, we all have days that can really throw us off. Sometimes I'll be like 2 weeks straight of just like studying and on my routine. But then I'll have like one day where like I wake up late and then I just feel like everything is, you know.
Everything is late, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like
exactly.
Kind of piggybacks
and everything I've done doesn't feel as important anymore. Now I'm just focusing on that. I think just being present and for me, like checking in every day, journaling. If I do feel like I ever have a day like that too, I'll just like clean my apartment. Like I'll do a deep clean and I feel like it kind of helps me reset.
Yes.
For me, that does the trick usually.
That's great.
Yeah, I agree with her. That reset, like checking in with yourself, you know, it's a habit that I've built up over time that now that if I feel bogged down or I've, you know, fallen off the wagon, I just like kind of am conscious about it. So that mindfulness and just being like, okay, wait. Like, let's take a step. Let's figure out, like, how do I make myself feel better, like, physically, mentally, like, and I'll write things down. It just helps that reset, I think.
Yeah.
And we all need it. So, you know, we've had a bad week, and all of a sudden we just need it. Okay. You know, when Sunday hits, it's a new day. We're, like, it's a new way to set up the week, and let's just start over. And I feel like that feeling of starting over definitely helps me get back on the wagon and sort of – like feel better about myself.
I like that. I was gonna say basically the same thing, just to answer my own question. I think best self Christina is she's staying on schedule, right? She's doing all the flashcards. She's like she's doing well. But best self Christina doesn't always like make an appearance. Like yesterday, when I was really tired and just wanted to sleep, and that's exactly what I did. And I think too, like for me with my own self, I know that if I'm really deviating from my goal in the moment or I'm not staying to my schedule, I know it's not because I don't want to. I'm a scheduled person. That makes me feel good in the week to know that I'm on schedule because who wants to have that feeling of like, oh no, I'm behind, right? Yeah. But I think for me, it really, I have to listen to myself. Like there's a reason why I need to sleep more. Maybe it's because I need to sleep more and I need to schedule that in because I am, my body is telling me something.
Yeah.
Right. So I think too, like there's a benefit in listening to yourself.
Right.
And like really like honing in on that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think we should also remember to give ourselves grace, give us, you know,
yeah.
and also cushion your time in your schedule so that, you know, you have some time if something goes wrong, you know, because life happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, just like looking at the big picture, too, just remembering that, you know, OK, this is like one day, but then there's a whole year. There's a whole life. You know what I mean?
We're humans before we're grad students.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And if you're like me, like I'm a very anxious person, so I have found coping mechanisms that have at least worked for me. These are just tricks that I've learned over my lifetime is that when I like start to get very anxious and I start to spiral, some tips I've started is I call it my hot list. so like crossing off items on my hot list, you know, it's just satisfying. I've found that listening to music, breathing, just telling myself, just let it go. Just let it go. Like just breathe, take a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you need. It's okay to give yourself some grace and just take a moment that you will find a way to either fix the problem or work your way through the problem.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's
a really good tool to have. I'm definitely going to
keep that in my back pocket. Yeah, you know, it affects your mental well-being when you're, you know, you're always like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do next. Like I'm spiraling, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you both for sharing. I think that this is a really important topic, especially people going into healthcare and STEM. I think that this is really important to talk about. And we just emphasize again that if you're someone who's listening to this and you know you're struggling, please reach out for help. There are resources available out there to help you. And it's important to be well and to take care of yourself and realize that we're all just human beings who are doing our best. So on that note, I think it's good now to transition to the third part of this episode, which is financial wellness. So I will again ask my two ladies here with me, starting with Brittany, do you have any tips for staying financially well?
Yeah. I mean, like financials can be a burden, you know, and I feel like the physical and mental like tips and tricks that we've talked about definitely helps me take on the financial quote unquote burden and how I can like better budget my finances. Now, as a PhD student, just because it's different than Christina and Natalie's experience as MD students, I just want to talk about how PhD students get a $32,000 stipend in addition to getting their tuition covered. And when I applied, it was around $25,000 before taxes. And I mean, it's not a lot of money, to be honest. And figuring out where that money's going can be stressful, especially when you like have things that like rent, your car or your bus fare, your groceries, health insurance, paying for your pets, or even contributing to help your family. Like, these are all costs that you have to think about when you have a smaller stipend. And things that I've found like that help me better budget out my stipend is that I have an Excel sheet. I have like, this is how much rent is going to be. This is how much I can spend on groceries. This is how much I can spend on gas this week. So maybe, you know, driving to Vermont for a weekend, if I have a few extra dollars, I can do that. I can spend that extra time, kind of take a break from the normal, like day-to-day work, a little mini vacation. But as a PhD student, you can always get a second job. It's talked about among students when we like start to feel a little like crazy about like, I'm not saving as much as I want to. So there is a part in our contract where we have to like get it approved by our advisor to get a second job. But there are students that have a job at like Starbucks or Dunkin', you know, something with flexible hours that they can like put that extra cash in their pocket. And yeah, I think budgeting and maybe even having that second job has really at least helped me as a graduate student.
That's great. Yeah. And I like the mechanism of accountability kind of with the sheet that you had talked about. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Natalie, how about you? Any tips?
Yeah. So, you know, medical school is not cheap. There are loans available. That's the great thing about it. And interest doesn't accrue on these loans until after you graduate.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Just something to, you know, keep in mind. Having said that, I do recommend doing your FAFSA as early as possible. So that's the form for your financial aid. It tends to come in a little earlier if you do it earlier. So that's great. And they're pretty good at helping out with just everything that you may need, not only your tuition, but your housing. If you need a car, if you need a computer, they have loans for that as well. So I just also want to talk about scholarships briefly. There are scholarships available through many different avenues. So just keep that in mind as well. But you will need a car and a computer and things like this at least at some point in your 4 years of medical school. So budgeting is really important and just like planning for these things. Like you mentioned, Brittany, with your Excel sheet, I think that's a great tip. But as far as like day to day, when you do get this money, you do get it all at once in the beginning of the semester. So I think it's really important to be able to budget at that point because it's, you know, if you have a big chunk of change, it's easy to just say, hey, I'm going to, you know.
Yeah, let's go shopping.
Yeah, let's go out to eat every day or something like that. But, you know, there are little ways that you can save that money and use it wisely. So I like to meal prep once a week.
Yes, me or just too. Throughout I love the meal week. Prepping. Yeah.
Yeah. And include your favorite foods. You know, I love to eat out. That's one of my favorite things to do. But obviously, I'm not on the kind of budget where I can do that as often as I'd like. But what I'll do is I'll make a meal that I really want at home. So I'll buy the ingredients or I'll invest in like a nice coffee maker so that I can make my coffee at home and get a good creamer so that I'm not at Starbucks every day.
Right.
So just things that can save you money in the long run are good to keep in mind. I also love thrifting. So I will buy my clothes, even like things for the home at a thrift store. It saves me some money. It's also sustainable for the environment, which is great. And I'm just going to mention a couple of things that are on campus. For the students, there's a program called C-Step that provides two meals per week for students. There are snacks always at the library for these people. They also provide small stipends to help out with outside resources and things like that. There's a food pantry on campus, work study opportunities, things like that, just to keep financially well, I suppose.
Yes.
How about you, Christina? I know you wanted to share a couple of things.
Yeah, I echo everything that you guys are saying. I think those are great points and that you summed it up very well. But I will also mention one thing that I do is literally, okay, not everywhere I go, but most places that I go, when I go to pay, whether I'm at a grocery store or I'm at wherever I am, I will ask if they have a student discount. And a lot of times you'll be surprised at how many places do. And all you have to do is just show your ID and you get 10% off or whatever.
Right.
I also just think in general, staying mindful, this isn't just a grad school thing. This is just a life thing, right? This is just a skill that adults should acquire. Just staying mindful about your spending and making sure that you're budgeting appropriately and keeping in mind also, you know, thinking ahead, right? So for certain clinical experiences, you need certain outfits, like whether it be a couple pairs of like nicer scrubs that you can wear every day. Or I did a clinical experience over the summer where you had to dress up every day in like dress clothes, and I didn't really have a lot of that kind of thing. So I did have to buy a couple of new pairs of dress pants and like what have you like that. I also think too, for being in the hospital, I just recently actually bought, and I'm glad that I bought them for my clinicals, a really nice, comfortable pair of shoes that are going to be durable, that will hopefully last me the entire 2 years that I'm there. They're very versatile. I think they'll be good in like different kinds of weather. So I did do that for myself. And I think that that's important. Because I think there's nothing worse than standing on your feet all day and your feet are just killing you and it's just miserable.
Yeah. I didn't realize how fast I burned through shoes either. Like all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm on my like a third pair of shoe like this year. I should probably find better support shoes.
Yeah. And I think a lot of hospital employees will tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that's important. And also another really cool thing here at Upstate is that the campus activities building, the same building where our campus gym is located, does have free events for students almost every single weekend. I get, we get the emails. They have comedians come through and give shows. They have, I think they've had music groups before come in and give shows. So there are affordable, fun things to do here. And on that same note, there are also events in the community for medical personnel to go as well. Specifically, I'm talking about the Onondaga County Medical Society will host events that I've been to in the past. And those are really cool because they're free for medical students. They're always really nice. It's great networking. There's great people there to chat with. And it's just a really, really cool experience. And those opportunities here are endless, and there's something that I definitely recommend everyone take advantage of. Even if you don't end up coming here for medical school or grad school, wherever you go, I think there are those opportunities and that you should take advantage of them for sure. That's about all I have to add on financial wellness. Does anyone have any other points or topics that they want to discuss today?
We had a lot of very important topics that I think every graduate student, you know, goes through, like those up and down waves of like mental, physical, financial wellness. So I'm glad we talked about it today.
Yeah.
I just want to add that, you know, as people who are going to be taking care of other people, particularly, I guess, the med students and the nursing and other occupational therapists, as well as PhD, I mean, you know, I'm sure you'll be taking care of people in the future.
Yeah, it's a product, right? Down to the end of the line, if I'm like an industry, that product will get to someone one day. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. So my point is just that, you know, it's important to take care of ourselves and make sure, like you said, Christina, our cups are filled before we're able to help others. And, you know, all these tips and tricks and tools that we kind of acquire through our careers, these are things that we can also share with our patients. So I think that's really valuable to be able to say, you know, this worked for me. I think our patients will appreciate that as well, just like a firsthand perspective on our own wellness.
Yes. So our advice to you is check in on yourself, check in on each other. And at the bottom of this episode, we will have linked a resource that you can access if you are struggling and you need help. So on that note, have a great day, everybody. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for chatting.